How about that? I remembered. Is this turned down? Okay. Well, if that didn't light your fire, your wood's wet, right? So. Can somebody watch for 7:50, that sunset? Oh, okay. All right, great. All right, welcome to House of Scripture, everyone, to celebrate our coming King. Hallelujah. I want to open in prayer. Our Father, you are hallowed. You are glorified and exalted. We give honor to your name. The whole world trembled at the sound of the shofar, at your majestic presence at Sinai. Creation shook in awe of you when you thundered from the mount and spoke your holy words in tongues of fire to your people. Let the shofar that we blow this night resound with the heavenly shofar in anticipation of the future festival shout of the archangel when the final shofar will be blown, and you will sound the battle cry and gather your people unto yourself. Amen. Tonight, as I talk about Yom Teruah, there's not a whole lot written, so that's good for me, so I can go off on any little little tangent I want. However, I'm going to try to focus on the messianic prophecies that might be related to this day. In Psalm 89:15, it says, "Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face." Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, that are familiar with it, who know when it is, what it is. You know, when you mention Yom Teruah, what do you think of? You think of the blowing of the shofars and make a loud noise. So Yom Teruah, is it a standalone feast stuck right on the first day of Tishri, the seventh month? Or are there some other thoughts? Well, there has been some other thoughts for this this day. Along some of these thoughts, I'll bring up Adam's birthday, the turn of the seasons, the coronation of the kings. So those are just a few things. We read about this day in Leviticus 23, 24, and 25, and in Numbers 29:1. Of all the Moedim, there's no direct instructions on what we do on that day except make noise. Now, the thing of it is we are accustomed to letting the shofars make the noise, but in reality, half of the noise, maybe even more of the noise, was the people shouting. So that means everybody's involved. And we're going to see some things that kind of relate to that in a little bit. So basically, Yom Teruah is sort of like a mystery. Is it something maybe that it's more what he's going to be doing rather than what we should do? Well, we're going to look at some scriptures and see if this relates, okay? In Nehemiah 8, the people had just come back from Babylon. Well, they'd been there for a little bit. But in Nehemiah 8, the Torah revival began in Israel on Yom Teruah for those who came back from Babylon. So we see that there is a bit of a revival of the word on that day. Okay, that's one thing that we see that happened on Yom Teruah. Now, let's look at some other things about blowing the shofars. But here's something that's really interesting. If you turn, well, you don't have to turn there, but it's in Joshua 6. And in Joshua 6, that's the story of Jericho. The people were given strict orders to go around, march around the city 7 times. And there were a few of the priests before and after the Ark of the Covenant that was going around. They also would blow shofars, but there was strict instructions for everybody else to keep completely silent. Well, there's another thing that's a little strange on this day of going around Jericho. This was one of those times when the whole nation of men was marching around. It wasn't 1,000 from each tribe. It was the whole nation. Okay, so you got this picture. All right, let's just tune in to what Scripture says here. And it shall come to pass that when they make the shofar blowers and the priests, make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now I want to look at a little section of this verse a little bit closer. Could this be a prophecy that's snuck in here? It says, and the people, after the walls fall flat, the word is the people will, Allah, rise up, will ascend up to the city, straight from where they are. Well, you're still maybe scratching your head, what could this mean? It could be a little hint of a resurrection. They're going to go, when they hear the shout, they're going to go straight up from where they are. They're going to ascend. That's what it says. And take the city. So, now let's look at another example in Judges 7. We look at Gideon. He had his 300 men, chosen men. They had their pots that they were going to break. They had their shofars. But they had one more thing that was included, and that was their voices. So, when Gideon's army attacked the Midianites and that whoever was there, there was like an alliance there. They broke their lanterns, their pots, they blew their shofars, and they shouted. What do you think they shouted? And how loud do you think they shouted? I'm sure that they were shouting as if their life depended on it. They shouted from as deep down as they could get to the top of their lungs. I bet they were hoarse before they got even down there to the enemy's camp. So, there you go. That's the first example of a holy holler. And what happened is, the outcome of that was a great deliverance. All right. Now,
We
see in Scripture some things that just don't make sense. Like shouting. Like the shofar sound. Could it be that with certain things that are ordained from our Father, it causes a heavenly or spiritual response? When Gideon's army yelled and shouted, it caused the camps down below to go into mass confusion. Was that just because of the holler? Or was it because something heavenly was going on at the same time? Now there's some other things too that we may take for granted, acts that may seem simple to us, that have heavenly responses. Like tithing. You think, okay, a tithe, 1/10. What's that got to do with? It does. Somehow, some way, given in the right heart, it creates a heavenly response. The angels get involved in some of these things. Having a pure heart. The Shema. A corporate Shema has a heavenly response. So all these things are laid out in Torah. So the word teruah is associated with a battle cry. In Judges 3, we're talking going back to, it was right before Gideon actually, but in Judges 3, there's a statement made right at the very beginning, I think verse 2, that says that Father had reserved some of the enemy that Joshua did not go in and conquer right away, so that those who had never seen war would learn about it. What's that saying to us? Is there something us peace-loving people need to know about war? Especially about spiritual warfare. Or just knowing that there is a war going on. And it's hopefully not in your house. Okay. Yom Teruah is also a day that's linked with creation. And I'll explain how I kind of come to this. I don't think I'm the only one, but so during creation, the Father created everything with His Word and His Spirit. Now, what do you think the Father did when He said, "Light be"? Was it a whisper? Or could it have been a shout that resounded through our known universe? "Light be." And it still echoes through the universe today. Along with creation, there was a breath that went into Adam. When that happened, Adam became alive. A breath from the Almighty. It was Adam's first breath. So, as he comes alive, Yom Teruah could also represent the resurrection. Because His breath makes us alive. His breath is life to us. In fact, in John 20 and 22, Yeshua has his disciples lined up there. And He gives them the Holy Spirit. And how did He do it? He didn't lay hands on them. He didn't give an announcement, but He went and breathed on each and every disciple, giving them the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not the only way that happens, but that's the way Yeshua did it with His disciples. So, could this day also be related to Yeshua's second coming? First of all, let's look at the date of Yom Teruah. It's on the seventh month, right? When is Yeshua supposed to come and set up his kingdom? Seventh day. The seventh prophetic day. 1,000 years. So there's a clue that we can maybe use or maybe not. But I think I'm going to use it. But what about Rabbi Shaul? Paul. What did he say about it? In 1 Thessalonians, I got whatever she had. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel." And we know that the archangel's voices aren't that quiet. I think that the whole earth is going to know about this excitement. "And with the trumpet of Yah, and the dead in the Messiah will rise first." Does that sound like it might be a day like Yom Teruah? Talking about a great shout? Amen. That shout of an archangel and the shofar blowing? Wow. There we go. We got some hints on that one. How about this one? Wherever that was from, I wrote it down, but not the reference. It says, I think it's Matthew 24. "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the skies, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." And that's exciting. That's for us at his appointed time. It's not going to be random. I don't believe it's going to be some time when just a random time. I believe he works on his time schedule, on his Moedim. Well, hey, there's something going on in the old prophetic writings too. Same thing. It says, "It," and this is Isaiah 27, verse 13. "It will come about also in that day that a great trumpet will be blown, and those who were perishing in the land of Assyria and those who were scattered in the land of Egypt will come and worship Yahovah in the holy mountain at Jerusalem." Hallelujah. It doesn't end there. Zechariah 9, 14 through 16. "Then Yah will appear over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. And Yah, Elohim, will blow the trumpet and will march in the storms, the storm winds of the south. The Elohim of hosts will defend them, and they will devour and trample on the sling stones. And they will drink and be boisterous as with wine, and they will be filled like a sacrificial basin, drenched like the corners of the altar. And Yah and their Elohim will save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they are as stones of a crown sparkling in his land." Man was the crown jewel of creation. Remember that when you're feeling bad. Sometimes we get distracted, but know that he made you a crown jewel. You just maybe need to be polished up a bit. I do. How about Zechariah 10, 6 through 10? This is another exciting prophecy. It says, "I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Yosef, and I will bring them back. because I have had compassion on them, and they will be as though I had not rejected them. For I am Yahweh their Elohim, and I will answer them. Ephraim will be like a mighty man, hallelujah, and their heart will be glad as if from wine. Indeed, their children will see it and be glad. Their heart will rejoice in Yah. I will whistle for them to gather them together, for I have redeemed them, and they will be as numerous as they were before. When I scattered them among the peoples, they will remember me in far countries. And they with their children will live and come back. I will bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria. And I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon until there's no room left for them. Hallelujah. Now, there's something I want to outline here. It says, he will whistle for them. Okay. That doesn't sound like a great shout of the shofar or blast of the shofar. However, there's a little thing that shepherds do with their flocks. Not every one of them, but some of them do, especially in the ancient times. They would make a flute out of a reed, and they would blow that flute or that reed, and that would be the what the sheep would respond to, he would be calling them into himself. So that's kind of a little intimate description of how he's going to gather us. We're his sheep, and he's the good shepherd. Yom Teruah is a feast where we come, we remember some things, but our main thing is to shout with joy and to blow the shofars. Like I said before, maybe the main thing that's going to happen on Yom Teruah is not what we do, but what he is going to do. Now, I'm just going to jump ahead here a little bit because it's tied in. Remember I said, or the question is Yom Teruah just a standalone feast? Because it's not tied to the agriculture calendar. It's not tied to bringing in your tithes from the flocks or the gardens, the fields. But there's 10 days between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur. There's these 10 days and two feasts. One for gathering. We just talked about Yom Teruah being a gathering and resurrection feast, but then you got Yom Kippur for judgment. Is there anything in Scripture that kind of relates these two things? Well, there's probably a bunch, but I know of one. It's in Ezekiel 20, starting at verse 33 through 38. As I live, declares the Elohim of the heavens, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I shall be king over you. I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you were scattered with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. So we got Yom Teruah there. It says, I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will enter into judgment with you face to face, as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So I will enter into judgment with you, declares Yahweh Elohim. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge the rebels from you and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the land where they sojourn, but they, the rebels, will not enter the land of Israel. Thus you will know that I am Yah.
And that's pretty scary. It's like we could make the first cut by coming out, but we don't make the second cut. It's important that we check ourselves that we don't have rebelliousness. And we know what that can look like in others. Sometimes we don't see it in ourselves, rebelliousness. So we got the 10 days and two feasts. What other places do we see the number 10? Well, we have the 10 commandments. With the 10 commandments are blessings and curses, actually. You have in the wilderness where Yah says, "You've tested me these 10 times." Then there was judgment. Of course, we got 10 fingers, hopefully. 10 toes, unless you're a carpenter, cabinet maker, sometimes they have abbreviated fingers. But that's to build and to walk, to establish His word and to walk it out. So, there's something that Balaam had prophesied. Now that we have a little idea of the levity, the heaviness, the kavod of the shout, the joyful shout, the shout that causes us to become alive, the shout of resurrection, the shout of the second coming of the Messiah to set up His kingdom. Listen to what Balaam said. This is part of the prophecy that he had. He said, "He has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord their God is with them, and the shout," hallelujah, "the shout of a king is among them." The shout of a king is among us. It resounds from creation to revelation, to the new kingdom. Live in that shout. Respond to that shout. So, is this worth making noise about? Yes. Our Heavenly Father has breathed into man, and we became not had, not have. We became a living soul. Not that we have a soul. We became a living soul. We are living souls. We are more than just flesh. We have His breath. What are you doing? My challenge is, what are you doing with His breath in you? When He breathed into us, it was an investment. Go and multiply, He told Adam. His investment in us. Let us begin this evening to cause His holy investment to prosper in the kingdom. Think big, because we serve a huge Elohim. But do not despise small beginnings. In everything, be a good steward of His grace. We'll end with another prayer of praise. Father, may Your kingdom be established in our time, and may we see the kingdom of David's greater Son to be established forever. For then shall the words be fulfilled, "Yah shall be king forever over all the earth, and on that day Yah shall be one and His name one." Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. I'm almost hoarse right now. But what time do we have here?
You got about 13 minutes until we sound the
okay.
Bars and we
all right.
Make a lot of shouting.
Yes. And It was Tom's, and I like the idea that the first group of people that get blessed after sunset is our children. So don't let them go scampering too soon. Now I'd like to, there's more that can be said, and I hope some of you guys have something to say. So we're going to open it up. And these are thoughts and comments about Yom Teruah. So do we have anybody with any, or maybe just a real good praise relating to Yom Teruah?
Just a praise. I just want to say thank you to everybody here for praying for my daughter, because